second week on that theme, and we will be starting our Sunday school lesson this morning. And it seems that the year has gone so fast. It seems like it was just the other day, it was January 1st. And here we are coming up one more month to the close of another year. I don't know how I got so old. Amen. But I guess it's just one day after another. Amen. And as I said, our theme for the month has been sufficient grace. And if it wasn't for the grace and goodness of God, amen, I don't know where I would be. But God, who is rich, rich, rich in mercy, rich in mercy, amen, rich in mercy. I'm so grateful for his love and his goodness. And last week we did an overview of grace, and we covered a few things. And this week we're going to talk about finding grace. How do we obtain God's grace? How do we avail ourselves of it? And then next week we'll be talking about living grace and then giving grace. I taught last week this scripture, which although it doesn't have the word grace in it, is so powerful. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We're not just loved of God, but we are the beloved of God. Amen. And if we, as I said last week, could ever get that in our spirit, that you're not just loved, but you are his beloved. Who's been in love? Nobody will admit it. Well, I'm in love. I'm in love. As Sister Audrey always says, she likes to come and make fun of me. But I'm still in love. Amen. This month on the 26th will be 39 years. So, and I'm still in love. Amen. 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 God, I found God's favor, and that's all I can say. I'm married up, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. But what this scripture is telling us, that to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein through grace we have been made accepted in the beloved. And if you are beloved, that means you are special. Most of us do not understand how much God loves us. We doubt his love. And because of that, we are fearful. Because the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And this is the test. If right now you really, truly believe God was looking down on you and saying, I love you, I am pleased with you, how much faith would you have? How much power would your prayer have? How much joy would you be excited? If right now you heard a voice that says, this is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. But that's exactly what the scripture is telling us. But we're looking at ourselves. It's like I said last week, we are navel gazing. What happens when you navel gaze? You find lint. Some of us will maybe. But that's not a useful occupation. It doesn't do any good for us to be looking at ourselves. The Bible says looking unto who? Jesus. Every time I look at myself, if you're honest now, you will see flaws and things you don't like and things you want to change. And the problem is we are stuck with who we are. Paul the apostle said, I am who I am. Isn't that what he said? But by the grace of God, I am who I am. God is the only one who can change us, who can present us in a different picture. Amen. So I'm going to give you some steps. Two steps to start with. Two steps make a journey. You have to take two steps to really, isn't it in basketball if you don't have your foot, if you take more than two steps, I don't know, I'm not. Is it traveling? Okay. So we need to take two steps to be traveling here. Amen. Finding God's grace. And you'll find in the scripture a lot of times grace is not translated as grace, but it's translated as favor. Favor. And a Sister Johnny Harrison mentioned that. When you have God's favor, it's amazing. I've told you the story how I was running away from this manager, right? Because I thought he was on my case to finish a project. And I kept on avoiding him. And he caught up with me after I came back from lunch. And he says, So I said to him, yeah, I finished it. So he says, oh, good. And I said, but I got a meeting. I was trying to walk away from him. I said, I didn't want to talk to him. I said, but I can't talk, and I got a meeting. He says, well, I'm coming to the meeting. I thought, oh, no. So he comes into the meeting, and he says, excuse me, I need to take over this meeting for a minute. Then he pulls out this award to give to me. See, I was running away from my blessing. I thought he was chasing me down to say, where is it? And he was chasing me down to give me thanks. Amen. We run away in fear from church sometimes. We stay away because we are afraid. And yet it's the very place where God wants to pull out an award and say, come here, I love you. I want to lift you up. I have a blessing for you. Amen. How do we find God's favor? That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace. I'm going to read all of this, then I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to listen very carefully and see if you can see what I see in this passage. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then I jump into Exodus 33:17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? So the question is, what's interesting about those passages? See, we think of grace, and the definition is of grace is what? Unmerited favor. So it sounds as if there's nothing we can do about grace. Either God gives it to us or he doesn't. But look at those passages again. Doesn't it say found? Found. Now, if you found something, what does that mean you have been doing? Exactly. So although God's grace is unmerited favor, I could have put 20 scriptures. Always it says find, found, find. That means, yes, God's grace is unmerited, but you have to go looking for it. There is still something that we can do to obtain God's grace. And that's great. Do you know that? That is wonderful news. Because suppose it was just up to God, it had nothing to do with us. Then there's nothing you could do to find grace. God either gave it to you or he didn't. But the scripture shows here that there is a process that you can find grace if you are looking for it. Now, I explained it last week about the prodigal son. He was in the pig pen, right? If he had stayed in the pig pen, would he have found grace? No, he had to decide to go looking for it. We may be a mess. We may have many faults and failures. We may be unhappy with ourselves. And if we stay in the pig pen and just looking at our situation, we will not find grace. Nearly every time in Scripture when it's speaking about grace, there's that word in front of it, found, find, seek. So that tells us that we can look to obtain grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just God deciding, oh, I pick him for being a millionaire. I pick him for a blessing. There is things that we can do. Isn't that wonderful? That means every one of us can find grace. The Bible says in time of need. Amen, amen. Ruth found grace. She wasn't supposed to have grace. She was a Moabitess. She was from another country. She was, in fact, under the law, she couldn't marry into the tribe of Israel. And if she did, none of her children for 10 generations would be counted as an Israelite. But she found grace. Even in the Old Testament, we see a beautiful picture that God was laying out for a future that we, a Gentile people, see, most of us don't have any Jewish blood, right? But we can find grace if you seek it. So step one is you can find grace, but you have to seek it because there's that found part in it, okay? There's that found part in it. So Jeremiah tells us how we start to seek. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with what? You have to have a made up mind. You have to be determined to have a relationship with God. You have got to say, I don't like this pig pen. I don't like this situation I'm in. I need to find grace. You know, when we seek God with our whole heart, when we seek him with our whole heart, That's when something will happen. That's when something will happen. The scripture says here, and he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. What does that mean? How do we search for him with all our heart? Okay, there's no wrong answers. Verse 14 says, I will be found, that same word, found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Has the devil got you bound in some areas? Amen. There may be some areas of your life where you're really in a fight. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's sickness. The way to get grace in that situation is you're going to have to seek him. You have to get out of that financial pig pen and say, I'm going to Father's house. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like fasting, but I'm going to seek him with my whole heart. When you have a made-up mind, when you are determined, you will find what you're seeking for. You have to have a made-up mind. It's said in ancient times when you had a maritime force, the Greeks, when they invaded an island, they would burn the boats. You know what that means? There's no going back. Okay, we're going to have to win. There's no loss in this. We can't lose. There's no way out of this. When you have a determined mind, when God sees that you mean this thing, what does he say? I will be found. God will give you grace. But he's not looking for lukewarm, half-hearted people. God is not into party tricks. Some people, like the Pharisees, just want God to do something spectacular. Do a miracle. Let me see fire appear. Let me hear a voice. Let an angel appear. God isn't into party tricks. He wants you to may have a made-up mind. You have to come to him. But he did say, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. But you have to take a step. Amen? So one of the things of finding grace is we have to seek for it. And then we have to do it with our whole heart. We have to be determined. We have to be, in fact, tired and sick of the situation we're in. That was the key to the prodigal son going home. He realized, the servants do better than me. I'm in a mess. I can stay here or die or go home. Maybe I might become a servant, but even the servants do better than me. In the story, there was a siege of the city of Samaria. And the siege had been going on for 3 years. And it had gotten so bad in the city that people were eating all kinds of things. Outside the city walls were 4 lepers. And they decided to themselves, they say, if we stay here, what happens? We die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. If we go to the other camp, we may die. So go back, we die. Stay here, we die. Go forward. Amen? Amen? You know, a lot of us haven't worked that out yet. We're just still sitting outside the city walls thinking, what shall we do? You need to go forward. And God gave them grace. As they started towards the enemy camp, God multiplied. You know, the Bible speaks about multiplying grace. God multiplied the sounds of these 4 lepers that it sounded like a whole army coming with horses and animals and trumpets. And the army that was outside said, wait a minute, maybe they went and hired some, the Egyptians are coming. And they all immediately dropped everything and took off. When we act on faith, we obtain grace. The Bible says we are saved through faith, or we get grace through faith, by believing, amen? So I'm talking about, how can you find grace? How do you get favor? How do you get favor? Well, you have to seek for it. You have to seek for it. My mother was one of those people, she would do things you'd think, no, I'm not even going to try that. That's not going to work. She would do things you wouldn't think would work, and she would obtain favor. She'd go and ask for something that you'd think they'd never give her. I think, Sister Johnny, you have that too. I want it for free. What? Yes, free. Okay, you can have it for free. Amen. That's how God's favor, when we step out on faith, that's how we obtain faith. Now, if you just sit there and say, Lord, give me grace. Lord, give me grace. As you looked in every one of those scriptures, it said they found grace. You don't find something that you're not seeking for. Are you looking for grace today? Are you looking for God's favor? Are you looking for blessing? Are you looking for breakthrough? Jeremiah tells it, all your heart. And God has promised, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. If the devil has got you bound, step two is to get up and seek with all your heart. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. There's another part that you missed. Let me go back to here. And there's another element to finding grace. I only outlined two words there. But see if you see another element that's always there when it says grace. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Has found grace in my sight. I found grace in thy eyes. Do you notice another element there with seeing? It's to do with God's face. It's to do with God's face, being seen in his presence. I'm showing you another step there, that you have to come before God's face. You have to seek, and you have to come into his presence. And to prove it to you, that what is the opposite of grace? If grace is unmerited favor, that means undeserved blessing, undeserved favor, what would be the opposite of that? All right, let me show you what I think it is. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. I will hide. What will I hide? My face, Leviticus 26, 17. And I will set my face against you, Leviticus 23. And I will set my face against that man. This is the opposite of grace, because you saw everyone who found grace were seeing his face. If God turns his face away from you, that's the opposite. That is judgment. I will set my face against that man. I will cut him off from among his people. Deuteronomy 31, 18. And I will surely hide my face. So grace, obtaining faith, grace, is seeking really God's presence. Do you see that? It's seeking the Father's presence, because grace, finding grace, is always associated with being seen in his eyes or with his face. Amen. You're all getting quiet on me. I hope I'm reaching you here today. You can obtain grace, but you have to take the first step, which is seeking for it. Then you have to do it with your whole heart, and you have to understand where it is you're seeking. You're seeking his presence, his face. If God looks down upon you, the Bible says one of the blessings that they pronounced was to make his face shine. That means God's face is giving you favor. When you obtain his face, when God looks upon you, anytime in the Bible it said God looks upon, you know what's about to happen? Something good. I looked upon them. I remembered them. I saw, when God sees, you remember the story of Hagar? She ran away from Sarah, because Sarah was a little bit jealous of the fact that she had been able to have a son and she hadn't, and was being a bit mean to her. She ran into the desert, and she just lay under a tree and said, Lord, just kill me. But an angel of the Lord appeared. And she I didn't put it in here, but you look it up. She says, she named the place, the one who sees me. God can see your need. If you seek for him with your whole heart, and if you behold his face, that means you're going to get something good happen. She called him, she called the place, the God, the one who sees me. The one who, when God sees you, the children of Israel, when God saw their situation. Now you say, why doesn't God see me all the time? Well, you have to leave the pig pen. Remember now, the father went out, and what was he doing? Looking. And when he did make a step towards him, the Bible says he saw him afar off. I'm giving you some keys today. You're bound, you're in captivity, you got some issues. You can find grace. You can find grace. That's the key. Find grace. Seek his face. Get down on your knees. Do whatever it takes. But return to Father's house. Because you can see the opposite of grace is when God turns his face. Samuel, do not come before me for Saul anymore, because I have rejected him. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. See, you can see the two things that are associated with grace: seeking and then being in God's presence. So it's all to do with God's face. Psalms 5:5 says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." There's this thing throughout the whole Bible of being able to see God's face, to be in his presence. Psalms 27:8 says, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." You want God's favor? When last have you really sought to be in his presence? When last have you been praying, "Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I'm not asking you for anything." See, we seek things. We don't seek his face. Because if we sought his face, all these other things will be added. You all know the story of my wedding present, which was just a Bible. Just a Bible. My parents just gave me a Bible for a wedding present. Wasn't happy with that at all. Thought they should send me some money. Gave me a Bible. But my mother had written Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," right? "And his righteousness." What she was saying, listen, if you get into his presence and see his face, all these other things, the favor, the grace, will happen. Instead, sometimes we ask God, "I need a car." We're going about it the wrong way. Instead, seek his face. Isn't that what it said? "I want to be in thy sight." If God sees you, he's not going to ignore you. We have to come into his presence, because the Bible says, "In his presence there is of joy, and at his right hand." Suppose we pray this week, "Lord, I just want to be in your presence. That's all I want, Lord. I know everything else I need, you will provide." Sister Johnny.
Praise the Lord. On that note, I was just thinking of, I look back and I see that I've only been saved 11 years, but it seems so amazing, because even the first time when I decided to make up my mind, you know, when you first begin to get saved, you hear a lot of people telling you a lot of things to do. And then you begin to just try to do everything that everybody is telling you to do, but you haven't heard what God has said to do. And I was in the church, and I was trying to do everything that everybody was telling me to do. I was getting tired, but what they wasn't telling me to do was to stop living in sin. Nobody ever told me that at the church, but it was when God spoke to me and said, because I was continuing to go to the altar, you know, like wanting this Holy Ghost, not even really knowing what it was, but just seeing that people were speaking in a different language, and I wanted to do it too. So I began to ask God for the Holy Ghost, until God told me one day, he said, and I had just got done smoking some weed out in the car and came into the church, living any kind of way, thinking that I can do whatever I want to, until God spoke to me. He said, "You ain't getting no Holy Ghost with your stinking, smoked up self." And when he told me that, you know, I thought somebody had heard it. So I began to look around the church and like, did anybody hear God say that to me? I was totally embarrassed. But it was when God got my attention and told me the right way as to how to get the blessing of the Lord. Because the Lord, he will bless you to a certain extent, but he is not going to continue to just bless you while you live in any kind of way. And that's what God told me. And he got my attention, and I started to try to live the way that God wanted me to live. And I realized that this grace comes with obedience.
Amen.
There's obedience that comes with the grace. You can't expect that you're going to live any kind of way, do anything you want, and expect that God is going to pour out his grace on you. Grace is a lot, because it makes you little. It makes you little before God can bless you with what he have for you.
Amen. You know, I didn't read it, but I'll go back a slide. And if you read this, Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." You have to leave the pig pen. You can't sit in the pig pen and obtain grace. Because that would be, Paul said, "I did not waste the grace that God gave me." We can sometimes waste God's grace because we abuse his love. The blessing, the robe and the ring did not come onto the prodigal son till he left the pig pen. He had to get up and say, I'm going to Father's house. I'm not staying in this mess. And you're absolutely right. You can find grace, but you can't find it everywhere. You have to leave some places. Amen? So you're absolutely right. 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is one we always quote. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and I'm bringing this part out about the face, and seek my face. It didn't say, and ask me for things. Right? It didn't say, and ask me to solve their problems. Now, those things will come, but it says, seek my face. Lord, what do you want of me? Wouldn't that be great? The Bible said about Moses, he had a face-to-face relationship with God, such as no other prophet had after that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we had a face-to-face with God? A face-to-face with God. Seek my face. You want favor? You want grace? Get into his presence. Get into his presence, Sister Brownie.
Yeah. I know I've heard it said, a lot of people seek God's hand instead of his face, seek for what he can give to them.
Amen. That's very true. That's the point I'm making, that we want God's favor, but and we want God's blessing, but we don't understand that the way to get it is to be in his presence. He never said, seek for these things. He says, get into my presence. I will take care of these things when you get into my presence. So that's step two. Now I'm going to give you another step. If you want God's favor, God's grace, the Bible says you have to have a certain change of heart. Sometimes we want God's blessing, but it's with an ulterior motive. We want it so that we can be better than someone else. Well, I got a bigger house than them. Lord, I want you to bless me, but it's not because we want to help other people. It's just because we want to be better than someone else. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, remember, I'm tying this scripture with God's grace and favor. Why? Because it says that if you have a pure heart, what are you going to do? You're going to see God. That means you're going to see his face. And anytime you see God's face, that means you are obtaining grace. You're obtaining favor. So the other thing that you're going to need if you want to be in his presence is a pure heart. That means you got to have an honest heart. It's not that you are perfect, but you are seeking him. You are confessing your faults and failures. And you're coming before God with a determination. Lord, I'm not perfect, but Lord, I want to be in your presence. Let your blood cleanse. The Bible says his blood cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Look at the book of Job. Job 33:26, he shall pray unto God and he will be favorable unto him and he shall see his face. There's this thing in the Old Testament and the New Testament about being in the presence of God. That's how you obtain favor and grace. We see in the Old Testament that Esther the queen, she could have sent a message maybe to Ahasuerus, but she had to come into his presence. She had to see his face for the scepter to be extended. If we come into God's presence, you know, and she prepared herself. She did 3 days of fasting. She got down on her face because she wanted to obtain favor from the king. And she prepared herself to go before the king. And when she did, he extended the scepter. We need to prepare ourselves and seek God's face. I tell you what, we can have such an explosion of blessing, of deliverance, of uplift, of breakthrough. But we have to have a made up mind and a determination. We're going to leave the pig pen. We're going to stop with the mess. We're not going to waste God's grace, and we're determined to make a straight line back to Father's house. The Bible says he was looking, and he saw them afar off, saw him afar off. God is willing to give you grace, because as I've shown, it's not just a haphazard thing. It's not just God picking winners and losers. Every time it says someone got grace, they found it. You can't find something you're not looking for. Well, you might, but it's meaningless. It was just chance. Sometimes God does make sovereign choices, but most of the people in the Bible, there was something they were doing to obtain grace. Now, that doesn't mean they met a standard, but they were trying. Grace is unmerited. No one can work to obtain God's blessing, but God is looking at the intent of your heart. What is your intent? Why are you here today? Don't tell me, but answer to yourself, why are you here? Why did you come to church today? I hope it was because you wanted to hear something that was going to bless you, that was going to encourage you. I hope you're not here just to see someone or to just because you feel it's the thing to do. I hope you came here because you were wanting to hear a message, a word that was going to encourage you, that was going to build faith, that was going to give you a little bit more uplift in your heart. See, the Bible says that we can come into his face, we can come into his presence. In other words, obtain grace if we have a pure heart. That means if our motives are right, if you're here for the right reason, God is going to meet you today. Amen. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face. Do you see that? All from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you obtain grace by coming to his presence. The opposite of that judgment is when God says, take him away. I don't want to look on that face anymore. Amen. Proverbs 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, we quoted this, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. See, all we should be asking for is, Lord, can I get into your presence? Because look what happens when you get into his presence. There's joy, and there's pleasures forevermore. When we truly are in the presence of the Lord, there's something that happens. When we were singing that song, when I started to just meditate about the words of that song, I couldn't help it. I was thinking, Lord, my dependency is on you. I'm not depending upon myself because I can't do it. There's just no way I have enough resources or have enough skill or whatever to do it. But that's when grace comes in. Once we get into his presence, grace can then, the Bible says, in our weakness, then we can become what? Strong. Amen. So a pure heart is step 3 in this journey to obtaining God's favor and grace. Amen. You see, it's not hard. These steps are not hard. You just have to have a made-up mind. You've got to say, Lord, I want a closer walk with you. I want everything that you have promised for me, for my life. We love to quote the scripture in Jeremiah about the plans and that God has for us. And he does. But those plans will not come to fruition unless we take the first step. Amen? The next step in finding grace, anyone? What do you think the next step would be, or one of the steps in finding grace? All right. Humility. Humility. Jesus told this story. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. I am not as this other man, are extortioner, unjust, adulterer. I'm pure, I'm perfect. Or even as this publican. Do you understand? He put him even below all those other things. He put him on the bottom rung. He put all these other people, and then he says, or even as this publican. He was making him as low as he could go. But the publican. Let me tell you how you get grace. Standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. This is another way you can find grace, when you approach God in humility. Not in arrogance, not with demands. You got to do this because your word says you got to do this. You can only do that if you fulfill the word. But if you haven't fulfilled the word, then you better come with some humility. This is what Jesus said. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That means God gave him grace, just as if I hadn't done it, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In other words, find favor and find grace. Humility is a powerful force with God. Did you know that? He says he gives grace To who? There you go. There you go. Obtaining grace is not as hard as we think if we understand how it works. He gives grace to the humble. It's not as if God just picks winners and losers. There's things that we can do to attract God's presence. Bible says he seeketh what? True worshipers. God will come looking for you when you truly start to say, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. Even in my negative situation, I give you glory, Lord, because you are worthy for who you are. You will start to attract God's presence. And you know what will happen once God sees you? Just like Hagar in the desert dying. God said, look, right there is some water. He can make springs of water flow in a desert. And she named the place, the God who sees me. Sometimes we think God does not see us. He can't be looking at us because look at how the situation is. Look at how negative it is. Well, you can make God see you. I'll tell you how. Go against what the devil and your flesh is telling you to do. Job's wife said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you give up? Can't you see it's a hopeless situation? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. And in all this, the Bible says he did not lose his integrity. Instead, he said, naked I came, naked I'm going to go. See, Job's mind was not on his stuff. In fact, let's go back a verse. Job 33, 26. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his... He just wanted to be in God's presence because he understood the key to obtaining grace and favor is to seek God's face. Humility. Humility is a key to obtaining God's favor and grace. Nothing I have is mine. The day I start claiming any skill for anything I have is the day I start to lose. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, Nebuchadnezzar had to find it out the hard way. Even though he had been warned in a dream, he woke up one day and went out on his palace and folded his hands, and he looked out at Babylon, the greatest city of that day, and he said, isn't this great Babylon that I have built? The moment he said that, amen. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Humility is a key to obtaining God's favor. Humility is a key to winning with God. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When you can get like the publican, you know you don't have anything to boast about your works or anything you've done. Simple prayer. Lord, remember me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said he was justified. He obtained grace and favor just because of his humble attitude. He didn't even want to come to the front. He hung back because he knew he wasn't worthy to be up with those righteous people. This is how you obtain grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's as simple as getting down and abasing ourselves before God. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You want success and favor? You just acknowledge God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He's the one that puts food on my table. He's the one that gave me that job. He's the one that gave me my car. It all belongs to him. I can't give God anything. You know that. When I pay my tithes, I'm not giving God anything. It's his already. Isn't it? He's just let me use it. And if I use it for his kingdom, he'll give me more. But when I start to think it's mine, that's when I will lose it. But he giveth more grace. You want more grace? Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth the grace unto the humble. All right, anything else you can think of how we can obtain grace? We've given four things so far. Let's go back over them just very quickly. I said that we can find grace if we look for it. We can find grace when we get into God's face or in his presence, when we have a pure heart and humility. What other things you think can move us into the presence of God's grace? Okay, I think that maybe is to do with our heart. Isn't that what David said? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, right thinking, right motives. I'm going to give you this one. Knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God. The more you learn about God, you can have grace because you understand how God works. So here's another way of obtaining grace is by learning God, by coming to Sunday school, by hearing a word. The word will give you grace. You're not looking at me as if you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm telling you, that's what the scripture says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God, through knowing God. The more you know God, the more grace you will get, the more blessing you will get, the more favor you will get. And of Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Again, he repeats it. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So one way of obtaining grace is by getting to know God better, by learning, by reading his word, believing. And that will build up your faith. And the Bible says that we obtain grace through faith. Faith comes by believing. Believing what? The word. And you learn the word by reading it, by hearing it, by meditating upon it. So another way of finding grace is through knowing God. See, God has given us many avenues to his presence, to his favor. Isn't that great? Just pick one of them. You can obtain grace. You don't even have to know the Bible necessarily, but if you're humble, you can obtain grace. Amen? If you are in a pig pen, if you're in a sty, and you say, I'm going to go back to Father's house, you can obtain grace. Amen? If you can just make up in your heart to seek God with a pure intent, you can obtain grace. Amen? God has provided a means for us to have grace. Amen? To have grace. Because knowing him leads to receiving grace. Paul in the epistle to the Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And here's the part we don't like. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable, that means being squeezed sometimes unto his death, in the likeness of his death. So that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying here that this is a journey. Philippians was written from Rome when he was already in prison. This was near the end of his life. And this really hit me some years ago. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that means grab hold of, that for which Christ has already grabbed hold of me. Amen? But the key here is he says, that I may know him. You see, to know someone, you usually recognize, people recognize people by what? Their face. You ever thought you saw someone in a crowd and you were trying to recognize them just from the outline and you hit them on the shoulder and they turn around and it was not that person? See, Paul is saying that, he's saying, I want to be in his presence because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Knowing God leads to receiving grace. Amen? Knowing God leads to receiving grace. Now, I've given you about six things of obtaining grace. Things that we if we were to put into practice, we would have so much favor and blessing and deliverance and uplift. You know, it's not as if God hasn't told us stuff to do. But the Bible says that we have to be what? Doers of the word, not just hearers. You have to actually do something. Brother Patrick said something many years ago when he came to visit me. He says, do nothing, nothing happens. Right? We want change, but we're not doing anything about it. Do nothing, nothing happens. Do something, something happens. Amen? Think about that. If the prodigal son had just stayed in the pig pen, if anything changed, it could have only gotten worse. But he decided to change his situation. He did something about it. We have, the Bible says, exceedingly great and precious promises. That was our topic last week. We have to do something with those promises. The Bible says if we have been given exceeding great and precious, if you have a promise, that's great, but it doesn't get fulfilled until you receive that promise. That means you got to do something. Amen? Paul says, though not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul here is admitting he's not perfect, but I follow after. He's going after the thing that first pulled him and still trying to hold him so that he could obtain the fullness of it. That I may know him. I want to be in his presence. I want to stay at his feet. Isn't that what Mary did? She stayed at his feet. Martha was trying to serve Jesus and do things. That's what we do. We get busy. We're trying to do things for God. Mary was at his feet. One of the first messages I preached here was staying at his feet. And Jesus said, Mary had the better part because she just wanted to be in my presence. She just wants to be in my presence. She's not asking me whether I'm hungry or all this stuff. She just wants to hear the words. So now, when we obtain grace, here's something I want to show you. Now, we've read this scripture before. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I've highlighted the word sufficient. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through right now, if you have God's grace, God is telling you it is sufficient. You just have to believe that now. I can get through this because God's grace is sufficient. I don't know if you got my point here. I'm highlighting that word sufficient. So God has given us grace to deal with our problems. That's why he gives us grace. And the Bible tells us he will give us what is sufficient. The Bible says there is no temptation that hath come upon us that is what? Normal. Right? And that with every temptation, what did he say? There's going to be a way of escape. Just look for it. I've said sometimes the way is through. Sometimes the way is not out of it, but sometimes the way is right through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley the shadow of death, I still will not fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But the point I'm making is when you receive grace, don't put it down. Believe that it is sufficient, because that's what the scripture says. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now that is outlandish. That is so profound. That is so contrary to human thoughts that only God could have come up with that. Human mind would never have made up a statement like that, that my strength is made perfect in weakness. That is contrary to human thoughts. Well, that doesn't make no sense. Lord, that doesn't make no sense, Gideon says. The army we're facing is 300,000. We only have 60,000. The rules of warfare, if you're going to attack, you need a 5-to-1 advantage. We should have like a million people to defeat 300,000. God said, that's too much. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You're going to have to get rid of some of those people because they're not all pulling the same way. Tell all the ones who are fearful, who haven't got a determined heart, who haven't sold out, who don't really believe that I'm with you, tell them they can go home. I've said that, haven't I, a few years ago. I said, everyone here who is not 100%, that's it. Now, I'm not being harsh, but I've said that to this church before. If you don't believe you're supposed to be here, if you don't believe this is the place where God has sent you, if you don't believe that I have the word that God has given you, then you're wasting your time. Isn't that what God told Gideon? Tell all the ones who are fearful, who are not determined, who don't really believe that we can do this. Tell them to go home. That doesn't make any sense. God's grace is sufficient. He was down to 30,000. God said, that's still too much. See, God will take you to a place where only grace can take you through it. No money will take you through it. No doctor can take you through it. He's taking you down to a place where you're going to have to just depend totally on his favor and his grace. That's still too much. Okay, let's do another test. Bring them down to the water. Let's test them with the water. Let's see if they're going to do this. And, it came down to 300. It was a 1,000 to 1. God said, now I like the odds. See, there's a radio host. He always talks about fighting with one hand tied behind his back. Well, God can fight with no hands. He can take 300 and defeat 300,000 because his grace is sufficient. That's the point I want to make. When you have obtained grace, do not look at your circumstance. If you have come back to Father's house, if you are seeking God, do not look at your circumstance because he will, in every temptation, make a way of escape. That's God's word. That's God's promise. His grace is going to be sufficient. I'm almost finished. Finding grace leads to perfection. If you could stand with me. 1 Peter 5:10. Peter here gives God a title that is different from before. He calls him what? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen to this part. This is the part you're going to like. After that he have suffered a while, make you perfect. It's the grace of God that's going to make us perfect. After you have suffered a while, it's going to make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. And I'm just going to end with this last scripture. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And if you come boldly to the throne of grace, you may obtain mercy. And you're going to get grace to help in time of need. This Sunday morning, we've been talking about how you find grace. And if we just put even one of these principles into action, next week we won't be able to have time to have praise reports. There'll be so many people saying, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you how God delivered me. Let me tell you how God broke out a blessing for me. Let me tell you how God healed me. Because my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Question is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Amen. God's grace is sufficient. Either that or you don't believe him. Either that or, be like the 60,000 that, I'm not sure about this enterprise here. We may get hurt. It's going to cause some pain. I got a family to look after, and I don't know if I can risk it. So those people only got to hear about God's deliverance. They didn't get to experience it. Those are the people who come in and hear the other testimonies, how God gave stuff and delivered and healed. But today you can experience it for yourself. All you have to do is seek him with your whole heart. Be totally committed. Amen. We're going to close this Sunday school, adult Sunday school Bible study, but I hope you have been edified and seen some ways to find grace, because it's a powerful thing. In fact, that's really all you need, is to seek his presence. When God sees you, when God acknowledges you, then he's going to say, just as I said, the very first scripture, you'll be accepted in the beloved. This is my beloved son. After he came out the water, the sky parted. And the Spirit said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's God's grace that can be poured out upon us. Not because we are so perfect. Not, as Paul said, because I have obtained. But because I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm not going to give up in this fight, even though the devil wants to defeat me and bring deceit and doubt and fear. We have been given God's grace. We are to come boldly to a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Father, we thank you for this word. Let it find good soil. Let it anoint our feet. Let it anoint our heart. Let it anoint our zeal, oh God, that we will put into practice your promises. Lord, that we will seek your face, seek your presence. Father, we just thank you.